today, we're used to being able to get whatever foods we want anytime. We can get strawberries in winter, grapefruit in the fall, lettuce year-round, no matter when they're supposed to be harvested. But climate change might be throwing a wrench in those modern-day expectations.
Shifting climate patterns and extreme weather events could soon lead to a scarcity of some crops. That's why the USDA funds 50 research stations around the country that are focused on growing climate-resilient crops that can withstand deep freezes and heat waves. One of those stations is in upstate New York at Cornell University. And the show's Lauren Gilger spoke with one of the researchers there, Michael Gore, more about his work and how climate change will affect the food we eat.
So one thing to think about climate change is it is going to influence the growth rate of our plants and how they respond to environmental stresses such as heat and drought stress. And it may also change the composition or maybe even the taste or the quality of the fruits and vegetables that we were eating as well.
So this sounds apocalyptic, right? Like we're going to live in a world where we can't grow our own food. Is that the case, or is this going to target specific kinds of food?
So what we should maybe think about is perhaps we will have to identify other growing regions for foods that we had been growing, say, tomatoes or corn. But it isn't to say that we can no longer grow a certain type of food. It's just that the location of where this food is grown may have to be re-identified.
So is everything going to shift? Maybe some places will get too hot, other places will get too cold, that kind of thing?
Precisely. We are going to have to alter our growing locations for certain types of crops.
Okay. And so you are working on a project in which you are breeding crops that can withstand this kind of extreme weather. So tell us, how does it work?
So what we've been doing in my research program for nearly the past 10 years is identifying the genes that are controlling tolerance to, say, heat or drought. And so by working with the growers of these crops in the particular regions of the U.S. or even the world where these crops are grown, you can identify what are the main risks that these crops encounter every day. And that could be either too much rainfall, drought, high heat, cold snaps, or even pests and pathogens and all of the other variables that go along with that. Mm-hmm. And so what we, in a sense, think about then is as we are making crosses between superior parents, we then grow them out in these different environments and put them under this type of selection pressure. And in a sense, you see which ones come out on top. And then eventually, after like years of testing, those are the ones that end up in farmers' fields.
And is it working? I mean, are you at a point now where you have more resilient versions of crops that you think will be able to keep these sorts of foods in our food system in the future?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So some crops we've been able to do this very well in a sense, like a crop such as corn, which has had a lot of funding. We've had a lot of scientific resources to be able to continually improve that so that there could be a yield increase of maybe 1 to 2% every year. But not all crops are equal in a sense of the amount of funding that they receive and also the number of researchers that are working on that crop as well. Mm-hmm. So for us to be able to have the type of success that we've had in corn and to be able to maybe recreate that for perhaps other fruits and vegetable crops which aren't receiving as much funding, things are going to have to change for that to happen.
You're going to need more funding to fund things that are not so supported?
Yeah, that is totally right. But also more researchers that want to focus on those crops.
So I guess looking forward, are we looking at a world in which we will have different fruits and vegetables available to us? Like this will not be everything's available all the time because of climate change?
This very likely could be the case where we're going to have to diversify the types of foods we eat, and we may not be able to get access to the foods that we have been traditionally eating at certain times of year just based on a change in climate. So if you will, you can kind of view it as that our cornucopia of the foods that we eat could very well be changing. Mm-hmm. But if we want to maintain like a certain type or a certain combination of the foods that we're eating, we're going to have to continually invest in plant breeding to be able to have that preservation.
Okay. Mike Gore is an associate professor of plant breeding and genetics at Cornell University. Mike, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.